is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. I got to turn my volume down. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com, and mahalo to all our listeners in the Pal Talk Room. Aloha to each and every one of you, and we are honored to have our listeners with us this evening. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 877-270-8714, and our Canada is 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are same area code 530-876-9026 or 876-3223 and 413-4515. And I am so excited about our next guest. It has been on my books for quite some time, and here we are. And I'm really, really thrilled to introduce you to our special guest this evening. And I found him to be quite profound. He's wonderful because not only does he get intimate with you, he shares his own personal story and how it brought him to where he's at today. Now, our guest has written a really wonderful book called Losing Weight When Diet Fails. And I personally not only have read the book, but I have listened to his CD that's so well presented in his book as well. And I have actually been using it twice a day. And I have to tell you, people, you're going to definitely want to pay attention because he's got some very wonderful, wise, and informative information to share with each of us. So before I bring him on to the show, allow me to give you some background on our guest, and his name is Dr. Tom Kirstein. He holds an advanced degree in physiology, counseling, and human development, and clinical hypnotherapy. 15 years ago, when he became nearly 30 pounds overweight, he developed the power programming weight loss method that worked for him. And since he worked for thousands of clients at his successful weight loss clinic in Westwood, New Jersey, Dr. Kirstein is a dynamic public speaker and is in high demand in the New York City metropolitan area. You'll also find he is the creator of the Power Programming Mind System and the author of Losing Weight When Diet Fails. Harbor Press coming in April. Well, we're already there. So he has also been published in that as well. He has also published numerous of articles in magazines around the world. His groundbreaking techniques have helped countless people lose weight, eliminate stress, curve addictions, quit smoking, and improve athletic performance. So without further delay, please help me give Dr. Tom a warm welcome to our show. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Leilani. Thank you so much for having me. I had my eyes closed for a minute as I was talking to you, and I was waiting for an applause from a crowd, and I realized that I was sitting in my living room, and there is no crowd other than the listeners out there. That was a terrific introduction. Boy. That was great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, before we get started, I'm very clear about pronouncing people's names correctly, and did I honor your last name and spell and pronounce it correctly?
Actually, it's pronounced Kirstein, like curse, a bad word, and sting, like a bee. So, K E R S T I N G. Yep, you're right there.
Well, I do sincerely apologize, but let me real quick, and I have failed to do this, is give out your website, and that website information is www.losingweightwhendietswithanffail.com. So thank you for letting me do that. You know, when I got the book, I went, oh, yeah, here we go again. But as I started to explore your book, I went, wow, this is good stuff. So would you mind sharing your personal story with all our listeners this evening about your own personal journey in losing the weight and how this was a catalyst that inspired you?
Absolutely. You know, it's a great story I have, and you know, obviously it's a weight loss book I've written. And, you know, first off, before I get into the story, it's much different than any other book out there for weight loss because it is not about dieting. It's about learning how to use that inner power source, your mind. And with that, you know, I'll tell you my story and how I came about actually writing this book. I'm trying to think how many years ago this is now. I'm not that old, but back in 1991, I was in college. I was a baseball player. And, you know, baseball was my life. It was my passion, my dream. I was a pitcher. I got recruited to play in college. I had a good freshman year out in New York here. And I started as a criminal justice major. I wasn't really, you know, an academiac. I was just a baseball player. And sophomore year in college, I hit this stumbling block, just an awful, awful experience where I was struggling so much to throw strikes. And, you know, if you're a pitcher, you need to throw strikes. And, you know, it really came to a head when I started a game and threw 12 straight balls and loaded the bases. And the coach came out and, you know, gave me an earful. My confidence was shot. My belief, you know, my self-doubt, my belief was shot. My self-doubt just emerged, and I didn't know what was going on with me. I knew nothing about the mind. And a teammate of mine said to me, "Tom, why don't you go see a sports psychologist?" And I noticed a guy that does hypnosis with athletes. And I said, "What, are you crazy?" And guess what I did? I went and I visited this guy for two sessions, and it literally paved the entire path as to where I am today. After having gone to see this individual, and he did nothing more than sit me in a couch, talk to me, relax me, and use imagery, and have me imagine myself, you know, being successful, you know, more deeply than that, of course. And lo and behold, my next time pitching, it was just like night and day. And from that point on, I wound up changing my major to psychology, and graduated in 1994 with a degree in psychology, a bachelor's degree, and then, you know, continued academically, got a master's degree in counseling and human development, and then got licensed as a licensed psychotherapist, then got another master's degree in administration supervision, and eventually went back to this hypnosis stuff and got a PhD in clinical hypnotherapy. And what has emerged from that, I began using that stuff in my private practice, specifically for weight loss, and now we have a book about it. And interestingly, yes, I was about 30 pounds more than I am now, and I'm actually at 35 years old, the best shape of my life right now. And it's completely attributed to everything that you're going to read in Losing Weight When Diets Fail. It's all about
your
mind.
Well, and yes, if I may interject here for just a moment, you know, I'm one of those individuals where, you know, I was either between 115 pounds up to 119 pounds, and I knew in the year of 2000, well, it was actually about 2002, 2003, we were being required on a spiritual level is to bring the physical body into a higher level of vibration, and it's important, if you will permit, for me to bring this forward for all our listeners tonight, and I'm very passionate. And I'm so grateful that we have people as yourself that have really dove into this particular subject matter, you know. And the past couple of years I've had a real serious challenge with my physical weight. I know that it, you know, is a collaboration of various elements there, you know, the cause and the effects of why I'm carrying this extra weight. But it was also very important to get that message out, not only to the women, but as well as men the importance of really slimming down and you know, one is for your health. Number two is bringing up your to a higher vibrational level. So for, I'd really like to thank you for the extensive work that you have done, and I hope you didn't mind if I brought that important element into the conversation with us this evening.
You know what? I think it's extremely important because, you know, what I teach people as a teacher, that's how I look at myself, is, you know, tapping into that spiritual source. And I try to look at the mind as spirit. And now that is what's going to control your cravings.
So let me ask you this, Dr. Tom. A lot of those types of elements, you know, with the fluctuations of our physical health and well-being and the extra weight that we put on, does that a lot come... Is that the cause and the effects of the mental and the emotional bodies?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Well, you know, everything begins with mind, begins with thought, okay? We all know that the mind and the body work together in unison. One cannot exist without the other. And, you know, there's another deeper level to that, and that's our feelings, okay? And what is a feeling? A feeling is something that emerges from thought. I'm not talking about, you know, conscious thought here, you know, your everyday thinking. I'm talking about a deeper level of thought, the subconscious part of our mind that controls about 90 to 95% of everything, of all of our actions. Unfortunately, you know, what has taken place in our society in the last 20 or 30 years is, you know, the amount of exposure, the amount of advertising and marketing and images that we see for food and the culture and well-being and everything that surrounds that, you know, those are things that have really, really infiltrated our minds. And, you know, anybody who's listening that needs to lose weight, you know darn well what you need to do. The problem is you can't pull the trigger. You cannot find a way of overcoming those compulsions and those cravings. And the answer lies in your mind subconsciously. It's there. Your mind is programmed to react that way based on everything I just mentioned. And when you can get into that source and learn how to work with it, you can free that your mind, your subconscious, of those programs and begin to replace it with discipline and self-control and self-belief and motivation. And, you know, weight loss is it becomes an effortless endeavor when you do that. And that, you know, this is exactly what losing weight when diets fail is about.
Well, and you've done a really nice job on putting it together. And, you know, it's a major concern worldwide today. And, of course, you know, I'm one of those individuals that fit right in that category. And, you know, you touched on about the subconscious mind, because I know that the subconscious mind has its own independent, and it's basically survival. Would you agree with the subconscious mind?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It really is. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it governs your heartbeat, your breathing, you know, all things that you don't necessarily have to think about. Those are things that happen automatically, and that comes from that area of the mind. And, you know, a craving is now, you know, consistent with your heartbeat or your breathing. It's something that is an automatic response. It's something that your mind produces. And, you know, it's very easy to unravel that, you know, using these what I call power programming techniques that you'll find in the book.
Yes, and that's where I really appreciated, and it was very refreshing for me to have received your book, and it had a wonderful CD that came along with it. And I just dove right into the CD right away, and and I would play it once in the morning, and then once in the evening. Actually, I would even fall asleep listening to your CD.
Yeah, if you at night, I hear that from people all the time. At night, the techniques I use, the CD and stuff, have actually helped people with sleeping problems that were trying to lose weight, believe it or not.
Well, I have to tell you, Dr. Tom, you know, I should be sending you a real serious thank you note here, because what I did is I actually started designing a exercise program for myself. And I had already, you know, changed my diet where I'm eating more organic foods. I'm not eating a lot of processed foods. I can't eat fried foods anyway, because my digestive system just does not do well with, you know, oils and fatty stuff. So I have to be very careful of that. But, you know, I'd like to dive a little bit deeper about our foods today, because I know that a lot of the processed food has contributed as well to some of the health issues that we're all dealing with today, and part of that obviously is the weight gain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. I read somewhere, I think I actually have this somewhere in the book, the way we eat has changed more in the last 40 years than the previous 40,000 years. The way we eat has changed more in the last 40 years than the previous 40,000 years. And that has everything to do with the way food is produced, the way it's marketed, the accessibility of food. You can walk right out of your house or office or wherever you might be right now, and all you got to do is think, okay, I think I want Chinese food tonight. I think I want fast food tonight. I think I want this. I think I want that. You can have whatever you want, whenever you want. Whereas in the past, that wasn't really, you know, an option anymore. And it's kind of, you know, when things are made so easy for us, it becomes a luxury, you know, to go out there and dive into these quick fix, inexpensive meals that are exactly like you said, Leilani, processed. And any foods that you're bringing in, you know, from the house are always going to be higher in calories, you know, higher in fat and all that stuff, the things that are going to lead to, you know, to weight gain and all the diseases attributed to that.
Yes. Now, wouldn't you agree as well is that even our processed foods, I was shocked when I started doing research just so I could have an intelligent conversation with you, because I have a lot of respect for the work that you do. Is a lot of our processed foods, they are also adding an additive as well to make you want to eat more as on top of that. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I haven't done much research on that, but I have, you know, researched it a little bit. And sure, you know, there are certain ingredients, you know, in foods, you know, especially sugar and salt. Those are things that your body's going to naturally crave. And, you know, any processed foods are always much higher in sodium and sugar content. And, you know, even when you look at the whole, you know, the trans fat ban, I'm not sure if that's going on out in California, but out here in New York and New Jersey, they've banned the use of trans fat. So restaurants can no longer use the same, you know, frying oil that they used to. You know, trans fat is a man-made form of fat that has an extended shelf life. It doesn't go bad. It's not an animal fat. And, you know, like the cookies and stuff that you see at supermarkets, that, you know, it extends the shelf life. When they're making French fries at a fast food establishment, they can use the oil over and over again. But, you know, that stuff, that trans fat, that's like a waxy substance that just, you know, invades your arteries, clogs your arteries, creates plaque, and leads to heart disease.
I got the visual on that, by the way.
I know. But, I the real key ingredient in losing weight when diets fail, my book, is, you know, the way I try to look at it is like this, and I think people will understand this after they read the book. You know, everybody I've dealt with, and probably anybody that's going to read this book, has tried just about every diet out there, okay? And many people have succeeded at losing weight, but 95% of you have gained that weight back. And it really boils down to one thing. Diets, okay, any of these diet plans that are out there, I don't want to name any. You know, I don't want to get myself in trouble here. Any of those, you know, diet programs that are out there, they're missing a key element here with weight loss. And that is, what are you doing to eliminate those relentless cravings, those compulsions, and those feelings of self-denial that are associated with every diet? And the answer is nothing. You know, you're pretty much just trying to force yourself against your will by counting points, trying a new plan, and it's going to lead to failure, you know, pretty quickly. So, you know, basically, you know, all of that stuff, the self-denial, the cravings and all those things, those, like I said, are feelings, and any feeling comes from your mind. So until we tap into the real source, you know, the main area there, which is that mind, you know, you're not going to effectively, easily lose weight. But now you're going to. Now you're going to, because you're going to learn these power programming methods. you know, to liberate yourself mentally from your shackles.
Yes. Yes. Well, share more about the components of your actual book and how this book can really assist someone that is looking to move forward with their own well-being.
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, the subtitle, you know, the title is called Losing Weight When Diets Fail. The subtitle is The Clinically Proven Power Programming Method for Amazingly Easy, Fail-Proof, Diet-Free Weight Loss. Okay, pretty powerful statement right there. And, you know, anybody listening is saying, okay, yeah, okay, here we go again. But, you know, to be quite honest with you, that is right spot on the money. Because I have clients that use these techniques. I'll give you an example of someone, okay? I had a woman not too long ago who, her biggest problem, you know, she was, you know, ate, you know, a decent breakfast, you know, a good lunch, you know, not such a horrible dinner. Her biggest problem was that after she put her kids to bed at night, when she was alone, it was her time to relax, sit on the couch, she would eat an entire pint of ice cream, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, every single night, okay? So she comes to me, we do the first session, same stuff that you're going to get in this book, and, you know, we zeroed in on that, you know, that ice cream factor. The following week, she comes back to my office, and I asked her, I said, you know, I'm looking at my notes, and I said, so tell me, how did you do this week? And she looked at me, she said, I don't know, I guess I did it right. And I then said to her, I said, well, did you have any ice cream this week? And she paused, looked at me with this bewildered look on her face and said, no. And said, no. And my point is this. Not only did she not have the ice cream at all that week, she didn't even know that she didn't have it until I asked her. Because now that craving, that compulsion, that habit was just, you know, freed from her mind. And that was normal to her. And what was now normal was, you know, ice cream wasn't in there anymore. So not having ice cream became normalized. And, you know, anything that's normalized doesn't seem like a big deal to somebody. So, you know, these are the kind of things that I've seen people do, you know, personally. And I have, you know, so many examples. The book is loaded with them, you know, with examples that anybody listening right now can definitely identify with. So basically, here it is in a nutshell. The book is 150 pages. It's a very quick, easy read. It has the CD at the end. That's the important part. It's broken down into three parts. The first part, I look at it as awakening the mind, okay? Part one is, you know, the title is, you know, power programming your weight loss computer. Your mind is like a computer. You're going to learn how to understand exactly what it is that you're doing, what you, you know, as far as your eating habits are concerned. You're going to learn why diets don't work. You're going to learn all about power programming. And it's really a way of creating a level of open-mindedness for the reader. You read part one and you're saying, okay, I get it. That makes sense. Then you go into part two and we start talking a little bit more about the mind and about what power programming is. And that includes relaxation, a very important component of gaining access to your subconscious. And then we go into your imagery and visualization and suggestion and then into unleashing your motivation that, you know, that's in your mind. And then finally, in part three, it's the three-week power programming system, you know, is laid out for the reader. And it's laid out for them. It's explained to them. And then it's just a matter of, okay, now I have this CD. Let me put it into my CD player and start listening to it. It can't be any easier than that. And by doing so, you will begin to reprogram your mental computer, your subconscious mind. And you will have this similar result that lady I just mentioned who ate all that ice cream had. Whether it's, you know, if your problem is that you're, you know, heaping portions of food or you just can't get yourself to exercise, whatever it is, you're going to have a whole new approach to that. It's just going to be, it becomes so easy, and then you can't not lose weight. I mean, it's as simple as that.
I agree with that because I know when I, as I continued listening to your CD, all of a sudden I got up one morning and I once again had regained that passion for exercising. Now, mind you, I was one of those individuals that, you know, I used to exercise 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I did it for many, many years to the point where I became a manager as well, helping other women and men, design their exercising strategies. And it was so wonderful to just naturally get up one morning and said, wow, I want to exercise. And within the first week, you know, I have my own equipment here, so I got on the treadmill. I was doing floor exercises and along with lifting weights, and it felt so wonderful. And I will have to say this as well, Dr. Tom, is that within that first week, I actually started doing rapid detoxing of my own physical body.
And as you go about doing
that, amazing.
Yeah, that's I know, it really is. And you know, anybody who's listening right now, when you hear, I'm going to say a word to you, and I want you to pay attention to what happens to you when I say this word.
Okay.
Exercise. Okay. A lot of people are probably cringing right now when they hear that word. Now imagine hearing that word in your mind after doing this power programming system. And instead of cringing, feeling an inner excitement and anticipation, and
yeah.
I am going to get up tomorrow and exercise and actually follow through with it, because that's what motivation is all about, and that's the key to it. When you can bring your motivation forward, and in your case, Leilani, you know, when you had exercise 7 days a week in the past, I would guarantee that what you've experienced in the last week, you've pretty much regressed back to the same feelings you had when you had been doing it 7 days a week, and now it's there.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was wonderful because, you know, obviously my physical body started immediate doing a rapid detox.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I was a lot happier and joyful. I had a spring to my step where I was actually looking forward to my work of the day. I slept very soundly, and what was even more profound is the amount of mental clarity as I continued exercising every day.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like you're saying, it does have a snowballing effect. You know, when you begin to use this mental part, I mean, you got to remember your mind is going to control your behavior. And when you control your mind, you're going to control your behavior. And it does have a snowballing effect. Once you start getting into it, like the exercise part, there is a section on motivation in here, which is a very important piece to losing weight. Now, once you get that snowballing effect going, you know, you're not cringing when you think of exercise. You know, it's just part of who you are. It becomes as much a part of your day as getting up and taking a shower. It's just who you become. It's who you are. And when you have that piece,
absolutely. And you know what else is? I was more conscious, and it wasn't to say that I wasn't eating well, because I was actually doing that, but my passion as I made my food was so much different. I actually was enjoying, you know, like if I was making myself a salad, all the different colors, and it just got real exciting. I know that may sound silly, but it was the truth. I mean, I actually enjoyed making my salads, and then once I sat down to eat it, I found I had a whole different relationship with my food.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because that's, you know, in part one, before you even begin to use the CD, that, you know, the whole book is meant to illuminate that level of that awareness factor. So, you know, in your case, you know, you're making your salad, and you felt good about it because you know that, hey, you know, I've got the key here. I know what I'm doing. I know that what I'm doing now is going to help me to lose weight. And secondly, you actually like salad. Whatever you're making, you enjoy it, and you like it, and it's delicious. You know, another something similar to that is a lot of people I've dealt with, a lot of people who have read Losing Weight When Diets Fail, a lot of personal clients of mine as well. I've had people who will tell me that when they're out to dinner, or, you know, they're at a function of some sort, whether it be work or, you know, a family event, and, you know, as usual, the desserts are rolled out at the end of the evening, as always, and there's not too many people that are avoiding the desserts. And they have found that, you know, after using this power programming system, that that same kind of awareness that you just explained emerges.
Yes.
And they're looking at the dessert, and they're saying, you know what? They're paying attention to their hunger feeling. They realize they're not hungry, And they're saying to themselves, you know what? I don't really want dessert. I feel more rewarded by avoiding dessert, more empowered by avoiding dessert than by actually sinking my teeth into it. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. And it's unbelievable when you are the only person out of 20 people or 15 people or whatever it may be at an event that is not having dessert. It's an empowering feeling. And I've been, you know, doing this myself for years.
Yes, and you know, and that's, I was an individual that never concerned myself about my own weight, and that was because I could just naturally drop it if it needed to be dropped. Matter of fact, people used to comment all the time, you know, for your height, you really need to put on some more weight, what, you know, what's going on with you, and then my parents would stick their ear up against the bathroom door, just wondering, you know, she's just way too slim. And it was just because I was always extremely active. I worked out all the time. I took my natural vitamins. And I was just full and bursting with life.
And
then all of a sudden, you know, I wake up this one morning and realize that it has become an area that I needed to pay attention to. Which was, you know, for a while there, it was, you know, I was walking around with this self-denial. Oh, well, my body's always been able to just drop it. Now, that said, I was a firm believer there was no such thing as the word diet. And I actually still feel that way, and that's just my own personal opinion, is because I feel is that if we keep everything in balance, we don't come to the level where Leilani's at, where she's had to concern herself with getting back to exercising, paying more attention to her, the way she eats, especially watching my mental and emotional, because I have realized as I had overnight, obviously it didn't take just overnight to put on this extra weight, is that I realized that as I became stressed within my own environment, I realized I had become an emotional eater. And I started paying attention to that. And I can still see today, every once in a while, you know, it's like the yo-yo syndrome. And, you know, I'll catch myself and really work on reprogramming my subconscious mind that it's not necessary to do that any longer. You can deal with life situations or as they occur with more of a balanced way of an approach.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And, you know, going back to what you just said a minute ago about, you know, the word diet, all right?
Yes.
You know, when you – here's the problem with dieting, okay? Every diet I know of makes you focus on guess what?
Food. Your weight.
When you're trying to not eat something, okay? If you're trying to avoid something, you must think about you must. If I ask you to say, okay, listen, I want you as hard as you can, I want you to try your best to avoid ice cream at night. What are you thinking of? What are you imagining right now? You're imagining yourself with ice cream. So the very thing, you know, the very thing you're trying to change is what you are focused on the most. And when you're focused on something the most, you're gonna draw more of that to yourself. And talking of that, this book, you know, it's only been out a month now, Losing Weight When Diets Fail, and I've had and many people already have called me and told me that, you know, after reading it, it reminds them of that book, The Secret. I'm sure you've heard of that. It's like number one right now.
And
it's interesting because I read The Secret and I was amazed by it because I realized, you know what, I lived The Secret and I preached The Secret and they've just put it in a way that's just, you know, perfectly executed. And you know, and then I started to realize, you know, this my Losing Weight When Diets Fail is very much like The Secret, but, you know, really obviously directed towards weight loss because it's all about how you're thinking. And when you're thinking about what you want to happen, and that is images of yourself losing weight and smiling and exercising and leaving food on your plate, all of the things that ultimately come from your subconscious, that's what's going to happen. But if you're on a diet and you're thinking, oh, my God, I can't have this, I can't have that, this stinks, that's you're going to start thinking more about the things you can't have, and you're going to start craving them.
That's so true. That is true. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. So, and you know, we go into
and you know, I'm one of those people that I'm 50 years old, and you know, I've heard many things, you know, many individuals say to me, well, you know, when you reach a certain age, you know, you just start to naturally slow down and your whole biological system changes and, you know, welcome to, you know, being a much older person. And, you know, I have to tell you, I don't buy into any of that stuff. I believe if we really have a personal relationship with ourselves that naturally falls into all areas of your personal life, and it doesn't mean that we have to be sitting in a rocking chair getting old. I just have a problem with that.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to backtrack a minute too. I mean, something that really stuck out for me that you mentioned, Leilani. You had mentioned that, you know, when people kept saying, "Wow, you're so thin," you know, blah blah blah. You know, it's interesting you just said that, because my wife and I are both very thin, as you might imagine. You know, I'm really good. My wife is very thin, and I am. And I can't tell you how often, you know, people will say to me, "Did you lose weight?" And my weight has been the same for the last 8 years. I'm, you know, 6'1", and I weigh about 178 pounds, and I have, like, you know, 10% body fat. And, you know, my wife is also, she's like 5'6", and she weighs like 105 pounds. You know, she's thin and in shape. And people ask her, and they ask me, they say, "Man, you look like you've lost weight." And my next article I'm going to write, I've written many articles, is going to be about this. It's not that we have lost any weight. It's just that as you get older, okay, as the years go on, more and more people around us slowly start to gain weight, okay? And then people just get plain old fat.
yes,
and if everybody,
you
know what I mean? And
I don't mean
to say that in a hard way to anybody, but, you know, that's kind of what happens. And, you know, it's not that we've lost weight. We have stayed at the same weight, but when everybody else seems to be gaining weight around you and you haven't gained any, it's not that you've lost weight. It's just that everybody else has gained weight.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's really what it's about.
I will tell you, you know, a dear friend of mine and I went to the UFO conference in behalf of my show and CBS Radio. And so anyway, there was a lot of picture taking and filming going on and everything. And then she calls me up one day and says, "Well, I got the pictures all developed and I want to swing by and bring them to you." Oh my goodness, Tom, that was a serious reality check for Leilani.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me how, you know, we can take our showers, we're doing all the necessary things to get ourselves prepared for the day, and you never seem to notice. But when those pictures came along, my eyes got so huge, and I said, "Oh my gosh, please tell me this is not me." And I actually really saw myself for the very first time in a long time. It didn't discourage me, though, because, you know, even if I should, you know, go backwards in my goal, I just know the very next day or the very next moment, I just start all over again and just continue moving forward. Not necessarily all over, just pick up from where I left off of. And I really wanted to get that point across as well to our listeners this evening, because it's become a serious problem. We see our children now have gotten extremely overweight, and I know that we've gotten a lot of help in our everyday lives as well. You know, all the stress and the tension, and our world is changing, and we're doing the very best that we can to cope.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is part of the cause and the effects, and that's why I said earlier on the show, you know, there's just so many different components to this.
There's so many. Pardon me?
Am I making sense?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you're right on the money. And, you know, that leads me to my next thing. I go out and I do a lot of talks, especially in the New York City metropolitan area, about childhood obesity. I speak to, you know, all sorts of organizations and stuff. And here's what I tell people, all right? And you just hit the nail on the head, Leilani. You know, we're running around. You know, we're so busy doing so many things, working longer hours, shuffling the kids around, you know, trying to catch up with the Joneses. There's so much going on in our world, and we, you know, we make all these other things a priority. And here's the kicker. Our health must be our number one priority, okay? Because everything else that we put before our health doesn't mean anything if we're dead. So your health has got to become your number one priority. And I think after reading Losing Weight When Diets Fail, anybody who's listening right now, after you read this book, you're gonna start prioritizing your health. Because I hear every day from people at my private clinic out here, as soon as I touch on that word exercise, the number one excuse I hear from everybody is, well, I just don't have the time. And you want to hear something that's scary? We all have the time. You got to make the time, because the average American watches 21 hours of television a week. So if we have the time to watch 21 hours of television a week, we can certainly fit in the time to exercise for half an hour, 4 days a week.
That's right. I'm a firm believer on that, Dr. Tom, because we should indeed be number one. Mm-hmm. And you're right, and I'd like to recap that as well, is without ourselves, we have nothing, you know, with our health, then there's nothing left. Because mm-hmm. this is what makes life tick, is when we are engaged and passionate about waking up every morning and creating our lives. And we need to get back to those basic ways of being. You know, I know that as I was growing up, and gosh, it wasn't until probably in my mid-30s that I really started seeing the basic way I grew up, things were really changing, and we started to lose sight of what true values and life is all about. And this happens to be one of them, I feel. And I'm very grateful that you were so willing to come and share with all of us this evening. And I want to remind all our listeners this evening is that I will tell you, I've read this book. I've listened to Dr. Tom's CD. It has worked tremendous miracles in my own life. I've made it a part of my daily activity. And not only on my personal show page with bbsradio.com, I have a wealth of information on Dr. Tom and all the work he's doing, the books he's published, his CDs. I invite each and every one of you. All you have to do is click on to the people in the Pal Talk room. I have the link for BBS Radio right there. Just click on to Universal Spiritual Connection. I invite you all to take a serious look at Dr. Tom's book, Losing Weight When Diet Fails. It comes with a wonderful, wonderful CD. The website for Dr. Tom is www.losingweightwhendietsfail.com. Let me ask you, Dr. Tom, do you have other CDs as well as we continue graduating to the next level?
Yeah, you know, I have another CD. There's obviously the one that comes with the book, but I also have another weight loss CD called Lessons for the Mind. And, you know, right now that's available on my website also. There's also I also have a golf CD.
Listeners may interject or asking to if you would repeat the title of your book, please.
Yes, the title of the book is Losing Weight When Diets Fail, and it's available at every major bookstore. It's available at, you know, Amazon.com, you know, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, you know, all the major outlets you can get it. And again, you know, the added bonus is the Power Programming CD that it just makes it so much easier for the reader, you know, to begin to learn how to delve into that relaxed, meditative, subconscious state and to use the power of imagery and suggestion and all of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing, Leilani, on my website, losingweightwhendietsfail.com, there's also a free newsletter. It's an e-newsletter. I send it out, I used to send it out every 2 weeks. Now it's like more like every 3 weeks. I'm so busy doing so much stuff to promote the book right now. But it's a wonderful newsletter. It's, you know, packed with loads of information about health and wellness and motivation and exercise and, you know, and all those sorts of things. And you know, that accompanied with the book and, you know, all that good stuff is going to really just get people to start prioritizing their health.
Yes, I agree. You'll also find that Dr. Tom is a sought-after speaker, having lectured at some of the most prestige events and seminars related to his field, such as the annual New Jersey Counselors Convention and the Bergen County Professional Counselors Association Seminar, as well as dozens of school groups, women's groups, and church groups. He has been quoted in countless newspaper articles, interviewed by numerous major radio and television news stations. His He has charisma, humor, and has a knack for stimulating the crowd and striking that motivational chord. His attributes, his success, to his high-energy personality, has ability to liven any audience, and his flair for helping people make lasting changes in their lives. Maintaining a thriving private counseling practice in Bergen County, New Jersey, from where he unveiled his power programming mind system. He is also the creator of the two popular power programming audios, Lessons for the Mind, Golf, and Lessons for the Mind Weight Loss. His biweekly e-newsletter offers invaluable tips and tidbits about health and wellness and reaches thousands of people worldwide. Well, we're close to the end of our show. It's amazing how you're having a great time, how time passes by.
It's funny. I just looked at the clock, and I can't believe we've been talking for so long already. I love getting on and talking to people. It's I just hope I can, you know, hopefully I can get people to start getting motivated and to start making changes.
Yes, I agree. Well, all the listeners in the Thal Talk room are all applauding you. So you've got definitely got thumbs up, and I'd like to
thanks,
find
everybody.
Out. Yes. Anyway. Is there any last-minute thoughts that you'd like to leave with the listeners this evening before I have to say goodnight to you?
Definitely. I just want to tell everybody out there that's listening, okay, if you've doubted yourself for a minute because, you know, with trying to lose weight or eliminate stress or whatever it may be, there's no need to doubt yourself anymore. When you begin to understand your mind and the connection that has to your emotions, to your spirit, your actions, when you begin to understand that, when you learn how to tap into your resources, there's just no room anymore for negative thinking, negative feelings, and you're going to find yourself to just be, you know, an energized, excited, dominant human being. And weight loss is just, it will be easy for you. Imagine that. It will be easy. Trust me. And
you know, thank you for that message. I truly needed to hear that this evening, and I thank you for that. I just had one of those days, you know, Dr. Tom. Very rare do I have them, but I have them.
Oh, I know.
So thank you for your kind words, and we truly honor you, and I am so grateful to have had you on this show with us. We invite you to come and join us again another evening. Keep us updated on your new adventures as you continue moving forward with your own journey. I want to remind our listeners is to stay tuned. We have another really great guest this evening, and his name is Bishop Jenkins, and he's written a book as well, Don't Hate Your Enemies, Just Love Them. So on that note, Dr. Tom, thank you so much. And blessings to you and your family and to the work you're doing.
Likewise, the pleasure was entirely mine.
Thank you. You have a good night now.
You too, Leilani. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. And I meant every word I have shared with all of our listeners this evening. It's really a great book. And he's just, you know, Dr. Tom is just one of those great guests that come on and is very passionate about helping all of us to reach our own personal goals. And so, you know, explore that, his book, and also his CD. His CD actually comes with the book, and that was a really, really nice touch when I received the book. And it's time for all of us to really get back in appreciating ourselves as individuals and making it our business about our own personal health, our loved ones, including our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, boyfriends. You can even share this wonderful information with your neighbors and your coworkers. So we truly hope that you enjoyed the information that we have brought forth this evening. On that note, we are about to interview another young man on this show this evening, and he is indeed the author of Don't Hate Your Enemies, The Art of Loving People. And if you will permit, I would like to share Bishop Jenkins' history, if you will permit. He is the founding pastor of the True Servant Worship and Praise Church in Hamilton, New Jersey. Bishop Jenkins earned a Bachelor of Theology degree from Eastern Bible College, Arkansas. He is known for his unique method of preaching and teaching an uncompromising word using illustrated sermons to communicate his message. As half of the Jenkins brothers sing in duet for the past 20 years, Bishop Jenkins has traveled extensively throughout the country ministering the Word of God in song. He is also the recipient of the following awards: McDonald's Gospel Fest winner, Image Award winner, Gospel Academy Award, McDonald's Gospel Fest Beacon Award, and the Higher Ground Interdimensional Church Man of the Year. As an avid business person, Bishop Jenkins is also the co-founder of the Jenkins Brothers Music Development Center, which serves as a professional training center for both musicians and singers. Bishop Jenkins and Sheila Jenkins have four children: Travis, Jamal, Clareza, and Domina. They reside in Columbus, New Jersey. And please forgive me, listeners, because I already know that I have mispronounced these two children's beautiful names, and we'll get a correction on that in just a moment. Bishop Jenkins, in his latest book, Don't Hate Your Enemies, Life-Altering Actions That Have Left You Wounded, and in some cases deeply scarred, you have been forced to face the emotional pain inflicted by others' words and actions. But the deeper issue is, have you been able to identify the true enemy, forgive, and move forward? The truth is, people irritate one another. However, those who irritate you are not meant to hurt you. Without a true understanding of the real and his purpose, it is easy to misunderstand the people he uses. Knowing this, people are not your enemies. Your real enemy may use people, but they are not your true adversaries. Don't Hate Your Enemies will give you the necessary tools to recognize the true enemy in your life. You can experience a new freedom and strength as you move forward towards your God-given destiny. And let me all, if I may, give you the website, and that is www.nhj, and that is E.E. Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S .org, O-R-G. The title of the book we're going to be talking about this evening is Don't Hate Your Enemies, The Art of Loving People. And for all those that are watching me on cam, I'm going to see if I can hold the book up so you can actually see the title. I also want to let you all know it does come with a really wonderful CD as well in the book. And here it is. Can you guys see it? Okay. Anyway, I am very impressed with this book. I know that each of us has definitely walked at times in our lives where, you know, we've all heard that saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, I don't know who came up with that slogan, but I have to say, words have hurt, and they have left imprints within our own subconscious minds. It's left imprints within our own cellular memories. A lot of us have been working on healing at all these different spiritual levels so we can become more whole as individuals. So without further delay, please help me to give Bishop Jenkins a warm welcome to the show. Are you with me, Bishop Jenkins? Hello? 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 Oh, I think I got it cut off. Hello? Seth, where's my guest? Bear with us, everybody. I truly want to thank everybody for staying with me. Our next guest is really, really wonderful, and I really appreciate this book because it touched me in many areas within my own life, my own personal experiences. Okay. Hi, is Bishop Jenkins with me?
Yes, I'm with you. I can barely hear you.
How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I am doing great. It's a real honor to have you with us this evening.
Good to be with you.
I do apologize. Were you able to hear me earlier?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Were you able to hear me earlier?
No, I wasn't. Not too clear, but I hear a little better now.
That's good. That's excellent. Thank you. Well, I just got through sharing about your book, Don't Hate Your Enemies, The Art of Loving People. I have read your background bio to our listeners as well as this evening, and it's really exciting because when I have to say, when I received your book and I looked at the title, I got really excited and thumbed through it very quickly. And I have to say, you struck some chords within myself because I found myself recapping on experiences that I've had in my own life. Mm. And it's taken me years on some of them to actually heal because, you know, it's important for us to heal as well.
Right.
But I wanted to find out from you this evening, what was the actual inspiration as you sat down to write these words?
Well, I was inspired by the Spirit to deal with subliminal issues that I find to hinder personal development. And one was the lack of forgiveness, and the other was just holding grudges and not realizing the purpose as to why I've past came a part of our lives and that kind of thing. So I was inspired by just trying to find out what it is that really hinders us and that can become conflicting at us.
Okay. Well, I have to say that you've done a really beautiful job, and I'm very impressed because not only do you actually get the book, but you have a wonderful CD as well that comes with the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like the title as well because it says, Your Love, the Jenkins Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really nice.
Thank you.
Are you with
appreciate
me?
It.
Hello?
Really appreciate it. I'm here, sweetie.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of a challenge hearing you, and I've just sent a message to my technician. If you could turn up the volume more, if I could get maybe have you speak just a little bit louder for me, if you would.
Okay, because I'm having a difficulty as well. Can't hear too well.
Are you? I do apologize to
That's
you.
That's okay. We'll get through it.
But, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No, the song in the book pretty much just consummates the thought of the book, bringing everything to a head. And my brother and I wrote the song about a year ago to just highlight some of the thoughts of the book and really just bring us to an understanding of God's love and how we ought to extend the same love to others. So it's a wonderful song. I think it's great.
I do too, and you know, it's so well needed in our world today. I mean, all you got to do is pick up the newspaper or turn on the TV, and you know, I come from the old school. I was brought up to honor and respect all people from all cultures, all belief systems. Now,
right.
It may not be that I necessarily agreed with their views, but
correct.
One thing I was taught was to always respect them.
Correct.
Whomever that might be. And I do believe we have lost the art of just the basic respect and realizing that no one's really our enemies. It's all in our attitude and perception on how we choose
correct.
To look at a particular situation. Would you agree with that?
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. There is an art of how to love people, I believe, and that is pretty much determining the purpose of people and why they're in your lives. And there's some people you need to love from a distance, and perhaps it's the only way to love them or to appreciate them, let me say that, is to not to make a physical connection, but there's some people you just have to deal with from a distance in order to appreciate them. And it's just defining that role. And everybody's capable of loving somebody, or everybody, really. It's
well,
just
you
defining
know,
what their role is in your life.
I was just chuckling on my end, because immediately the first thought that came to my mind, and you're so right about that, is I love my own family with every pulse of my heart.
Correct.
But I've also had to let them go.
Correct.
That doesn't mean that I still today don't love them. I actually love them more today than I loved them yesterday.
Correct. No doubt. And
yes.
Again, that's that knowing how far to extend the spoon in order to appreciate them. There's some people you just can't have around you because of personal conflicts and opinions that can't seem to come together. But it doesn't have anything to do with how you feel about a person. It's just that personal conflicts are not gelling. And so it's best that we talk from a distance and communicate from a distance. I've learned that myself. It helps.
Well, I tell you, when I received your book, it, you know, I had said earlier that it had really struck some chords within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because as I started to read the words and go from chapter to chapter, I started realizing, you know, my own weaknesses and my own judgments, and mm-hmm. how I could indeed become a much better person by being more open and receptive and just respecting the other individual. And sometimes we find ourselves getting so caught up in everyday life that we forget mm-hmm. those basic foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is true.
One of the biggest things that really made my heart sing is that we sometimes have a tendency to forget God in the equation. And
correct.
I am a firm believer that God is all things, and God should be involved in everything.
Correct. This is true. Very much true. And I believe that one of the reasons why people don't appreciate relationships, because they go on their own instincts and their own feelings and emotions, which are different. God never intended for us to be the same. We're all created in a different mold, and we all have different perceptions and perspectives and that kind of thing, and differences. And one thing he did say in Ephesians, that we are to submit to one another, however, in the fear of God, meaning that he has to be the center of every relationship that's going to function, because our infatuated love, if you will, is based on what we do for each other. But his love is agape, which goes beyond what we do, but it's love in spite of. And if we're able to incorporate God in our relationship, then we'll be able to deal with each other as we deal with our differences, and understand that it's the love of God that keeps us together and bonded together to do to have a relationship. And without him, I'm not saying that a relationship can't work, but it's a lot easier understanding God as being the glue that keeps us together. And
that's
it makes marriages, makes relationships, makes friendships a lot better.
You bet.
Sure.
Absolutely. And that's what I really appreciated and enjoyed seeing as well, is, I deal with people every day, all day long, and there's a lot of times I can talk up. I'm sure you probably can succeeded me with, your relationships with people on a daily basis, but I can talk up to 30 to 50 people just over on the phone. And they're so, my point is that in just in conversation, you can just kind of feel where everybody's at, what their
mm-hmm.
belief systems are, or the negative thinking patterns that individuals have. And it's time for all of us to put our swords down and support and love and care and respect each
correct.
Other. Don't you believe that? I can just feel that. Don't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's imperative that we see each other in the eyes of love and not our opinions. That is so important. And I did something in a book concerning the power of agreement and how it goes to a process of elimination. If we can just get past how we feel about an issue or a circumstance, I can look at a relationship as if with a couple, not being able to agree suggests that I don't value your opinion. And it's evident that your opinion means a lot to you. That's why we have an argument. So if I was to mature in atmosphere or mature in that particular issue and say, okay, let me just stop talking and let me hear your opinion and why you feel so strong or adamant about it. And then, okay, I listen to yours, now you listen to mine, and the maturity says, okay, let's eliminate what matters and what doesn't matter, and let's come to agreement so we can disagree to agree. And then we pull out the pros and eliminate the cons and come to an agreement.
Yes.
It's really important. That's without even being spiritual. That's just common, practical principles that we can exercise in order to come to an agreement.
And let me ask you something, Bishop Jenkins, that has come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is it truly that we have enemies, or is it where the comfort of the individual within the, you know, about themselves as a person, that they're broken in some form of fashion from their own experiences, that they've become filled with anger and hate and discord. And I think you follow where I'm coming from with this question, right?
Right. There are various components that can determine that condition. And we can create our own scenarios, we can create our own conflicts, and also it's never people, you know, it's never people that have a problem with us. Jesus stood on the cross after people offended him, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's not the people, it's the people being used by the enemy to cause distraction in your life. It's always a spiritual thing that conflicts with your purpose, that the enemy uses people to try to distract you from purpose. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes, meaning he has an intention to destroy or to kill your purpose and will for you. He doesn't have the authority to hurt you, because if he did, he would have pushed Jesus off the mountain when he said, "If you be the Son of God, throw yourself off." But he was that close to Jesus, he could have just pushed him, but he does not have that authority. And a lot of times he uses our past, he uses people to distract us, and we then internalize what people do, and therefore we make a decision not to excel. We make a decision not to fulfill destiny because of past experience, and begin to use it as an excuse, you know, as to why we're not what we should be. And sometimes, like we just mentioned, our past becomes our demise, or it could become our stepping stone. You know, it's up to the individual.
Interesting, and I can really, really appreciate your work and this book that you have written, and it really touched me very deeply. And it couldn't have came a better time in my own personal life, and I truly thank you for honoring me by allowing me to have this book, and it will always be one of those books that I'll keep very close and dear to my heart.
And,
you know, it's like what I say on this radio show to all my listeners, is that they're like thieves of the night, and they come to rob us of our joy, our happiness, our birthright as children of God, and not to allow ourselves any further to let them steal from us what was always our birthright and meant to be
correct,
to be given unto us when we came here on, you know, on Mother Earth. And you've done just an incredible, incredible job, and I like a lot of the things that you've said in here, and may I read one from Genesis, if I may?
Sure.
And God says, "Let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth, in the skies and in the seas." So God made man like his maker. Like God did God make man. Man and maid did he make them. That is so beautiful, and it is in such an alignment that goes so well with the conversation that you and I have been having, because it's so very true. And it's time for humanity to embrace and love and support each other. And, you know, it's interesting because I get up every morning and my first words is, "God, let my will be thou will."
Right.
Let each step glorify the heavens.
Correct.
And may all my communications be of the highest.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't always mean that I accomplish that, but it comes from my heart.
Correct. Yes.
Wow.
You're strong.
Yeah, it's great stuff, isn't it?
Strong.
I just love it.
great.
I truly, truly love this. It's really good stuff. I really encourage, if you will permit, Bishop Jenkins, if I may speak with my listeners for just a moment.
Sure.
I have this book in my possession here, and the title is Don't Hate Your Enemies, The Art of Loving People. And it's a very inspirational book. It's a book that it gives you the sensation of curling up on your sofa all warm and fuzzy, and you're having this beautiful love relationship between you, God. When you read the words, it just pulls you in, and you realize just how very, very special each and every one of us are. Wouldn't you agree with that, Bishop Jenkins?
Yes, ma'am. I sure do. Yes, I agree. It is a book intended to really bring closure to the past and to enlighten your hearts to see where you are. And most importantly, you take evaluation and make sure you're not your worst enemy.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because I've been saying this quite a bit on my show as well. And God says, do not look for me in the past, for you shall not find me. Do not look for me in the future, for you will not find me there as well. But if
right.
you look for me in the now, you shall find me there.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And it's so, and most of the listeners, I can honestly say, have really gotten that it's time to let our passes go.
That's right.
It's time for all of us to be responsible and accountable for our persons.
Correct.
It's time for all of us to allow our hearts to expand. And it doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything that crosses our path.
Yes.
But it's just the respecting and
correct.
And allowing people to express their own ways of being and thinking. And I do believe that as we continue, as God reclaims his land here and his children, we are about to move into a world of just incredible unconditional love.
Yes.
All the things that you and I are speaking of, it will be a part of our own reality.
Yes.
We will not concern ourselves with the past and have a ball and chain around our ankles.
Right.
And be burdened by past experiences.
Correct. Yes.
What do you think, Bishop Jenkins?
I think the main thing is letting go and letting now take its role. And when I say letting go, I mean literally letting go of grudges, because as we continue to hold on to grudges, that which we hold a grudge against continues to control who we are. True forgiveness does not require an apology, because if we expect an apology, then that person who has offended us and that kind of thing, if they never apologize, then we will never be able to get past what they did. And so, like, when I look at Joseph, he was successful before his brothers ever came to apologize to him. In other words, he said, listen, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm going to continue to move on. In fact, what you did to me helped catapult me to where I am today. So I don't need an apology. I need to move on. And so this is the main, one of the main concepts of the book, is that you recognize that you never get an apology. If they never come up to appreciate you or anything like that, you still have to take a step forward and say, I have to gain control of my life. I have to get my life back by not allowing you to control it by holding a grudge against that individual and moving forward.
Dr. Jenkins. I just love the way this works. I really do. I mean, I truly honor your words, because Leilani needed to hear these words this evening. I also remind my listeners as well is that we're human beings having a human experience.
Correct.
We do the very best we can do every day. And I do see wonderful changes taking place in our world.
Correct.
And I know, I have faith that our world will continue changing for the better.
Correct.
And I know that you agree with that as well.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I'd like to read page 121, if I may, a passage here I'd like to share with my listeners. And it says here, "The truth is that the enemy has control of people's minds to such an extent that they often do not even realize why they do what they do. You have seen these lost souls on television after they have done some unthinkable acts against their spouse or their children. Even they cannot believe what has happened. Make no mistake, the devil is real, and he uses people's vulnerabilities and godlessness to destroy other people. There is a lesson to be found in every experience. You step on your enemy by learning from each experience so that you are prepared for the next level."
Right.
I know exactly what you mean when you say that, but I'd like to hear it in your own words when you say you step on your enemy by learning from each experience so that you are prepared for the next level. In your own words, could you explain what you're truly saying in that statement?
Sure. I believe that if the scriptures and which it does, it says that all things work together for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. I believe that all things work together for my good. That includes the good and the bad. That's good people as well as bad people. That's good experiences as well as bad experiences. And I'm a firm believer that if everything that God foreknew, well, everything that God predestined, he foreknew, everything that happened in my life was already planned. And so I'm in a position now that if I'm in a situation, I have to position myself to say, okay, even though it's bad, what is the lesson that God wants me to learn out of this? If this person is in my life, now I have to define, okay, are they in my life for, are these people in my life for a reason, season, and lifetime? Are they associates or are they friends? Because if I expect friendship out of associates, then I'm going to become frustrated. Or if I try to put seasoned people in reason people, then for a reason, or reason people for lifetime people, then I become frustrated. It's defining who and placing them in the right category, and then understanding why they're here, and then learn the lesson, whether it be good or bad, learning the lesson as to why they are in my life. And then that helps me. Once I learn what the lesson is, then I step on the lesson and move to the next level. But the Bible says much is given, much is required. Friends will help you, but enemies will prepare you. So I must see, what am I enemy saying to me? Because even though they may have come at me with something negative, that negativity may be something I need to change.
Actually, they're our biggest teachers, aren't they?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
They are actually our biggest teachers.
Exactly. I don't ignore
And, you know,
friends.
I call
I
that, mirroring. Because whatever they're projecting out to us is what we need to pay attention to within our own own personalities.
Correct.
Wow. If I may read again, Bishop Jenkins, I would appreciate it. On page 106, it says here, "Unfortunately, anger has caused many valuable friendships, relationships, and marriages to be broken into pieces. This is why we must learn to control our reactions to and expressions of anger. In the scripture that opened this chapter, 'Be angry and do not sin,' we see that there is no command against getting angry. It is not the feeling or emotion by itself that is wrong. Rather, it is your response and to expression of anger that may become a sin problem. Very well said. So in reality, it's okay for us to get angry. It's how we choose to respond through that period. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. Anger, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Would suggest that anger becomes sinful when we don't address the small issues before the night falls that causes an anger to explode. So if we would just take the time and look at the small things, the Bible says little foxes destroy the vine. Sometimes it's not how big the issue is. It's addressing the smaller issues that build up to cause us to explode in anger. You know, so anger is
a bad. Believe me, Bishop Jenkins, I've been there many a time. I have been there many a time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And as I have grown older, you know, I have more command now over my person and my emotions than I did when I was much younger.
Yes. Yes. No doubt. And I've been there, too. I've been there many times, and I no longer ignore signs, you know, and I discovered that when people show you themselves, believe it. And once you define their personality and what they're offering and what they're insinuating, then you're able to deal with it without allowing it to get to you. The worst punch is the punch you don't see coming. And once you acknowledge what's coming at you, then you can address it and not allow it to bring you to a place of discomfort and anger, explosive anger. It's nothing wrong to be angry. That's part of human nature. That's part of the makeup of man. You're going to be angry, but don't allow the small things to build up where it causes that anger to explode. And like we're complaining, you know, concerns are issues that we have. However, complaining are issues that we have, but we fail to find a solution, and we continuously complain about that same problem. So instead of just complaining about something, complaining, while you're complaining, find a reason to resolve the issue, and then that eliminates the complaining as well, which also causes anger to explode.
Yes. Well, and it's important for us as human beings is to, you know, because, you know, we've heard the terminology for a long time where we have the walking dead or we have the walking zombies on the planet where people just turn themselves off from feeling in life. They weren't engaged in life and celebration of life. They just went, you know, they were like wound up robots and just went about their day in a mechanical type way. And I do know it's extremely important that we all really get in touch with our feelings.
Correct.
And, you know, like, I know for myself as a person, I was one of those individuals as well, where I thought I was feeling, but I truly wasn't, because I would never give myself permission to feel anger, because I wanted to be obedient to myself, and I ended up hurting myself because I was suppressing those emotions.
Correct.
But now I'm able to express when I get angry, but I do it in a healthy way where I'm not being self-destructive to myself and to others around me as well.
Right.
And I work on, when I speak, my intent is to speak words that vibrate with love.
Correct. It's so funny because I see every day differently now. After writing the book, I put it like this. If God has given me 300 days to live on earth, and every day I wake up is another day off of my life, and it goes even deeper, I say, every day is so important that I don't want to waste it on frivolous sin and mundane things. In fact, I go to this extent. What if I knew that this is my last day, tomorrow is my last day on earth? How will I spend it? Will I hold a grudge? Will I walk around angry? what would I do? And that helps me see life in a different light and gives it a different perspective, that every day is so important, that if God gives me new mercies every day, in other words, he gives me another chance to do better than yesterday. So every day I get up, I say, I'm going to do better, I'm going to love better, I'm going to do, everything I'm going to do is going to be something greater than what I did yesterday. Oh, forget a grudge. Forget arguing. I'm not going to waste this day, just in case it's my last day. I'm not going to waste it on stuff that doesn't matter.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you for that. I watched my heart explode listening to those words. That was great.
Thank you.
Wow. Page 75, you say here, and this is really beautiful as well, be careful what you ask for and make sure that when you ask, it is not with an attitude of complaining.
Correct.
Oh, are you ever so right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because we have a lot of that, don't we, in this
yeah.
world.
Yeah, it's a selfish way of living, you know. It's definitely a selfish way of living, and we must see life as precious with God, and that we actually live, move, and have our being because of this, because of him. There's nothing to complain about, because whatever we're experiencing, it could be a lot worse. Yeah.
That's absolutely right. It's learning to appreciate what
right.
you have this very, very moment and
That's
showing
right.
your gratitude.
That's right. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. No doubt.
Wow. I hope that you're very glad that you came on this show to share with
all of us. I'm excited.
Well, good. I'm
Thank
grateful.
You.
And you know what I'm very excited about, Bishop Jenkins, as well?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
As I read this book, you know, for a long time I have waited for this moment. As far as I'm concerned, you and I are making history at this very moment together. And I
thank
really
you.
Want to thank you, and I honor you for allowing us to make history this evening. And the reason
thank
why
you.
I say that is
Thank
because I've waited
so
a very long time to see the merging of the understanding between the things I've always known, and it's refreshing to me to finally see that the reverend is yourself, and there's a couple other reverends that have contacted me as well that are teaching the people in churches about the movie Secret, the laws of attraction, the cause and the effects of our action. These are all high, very high universal laws that we've all been subject to since the beginning of time.
Yes.
And it's exciting to see that you are actually teaching this among your own congregation.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's the same that I've known since I was a little girl of 3 years old. This
wow.
is the actual, to me, listeners, we are making history tonight, this evening. I want you guys all to really pay attention here, because this is a very profound moment for not only, I'm sure, for Bishop Jenkins, but for us as well, because
yes.
word is getting out. The people are being fed the truth, the
Correct.
Truth of God's love, the truth of God's kingdom, the
yes.
truth of command of our person, and having a true, full love relationship
yes.
with our Creator.
Wow. That's right. God loves people through people.
Am I babbling, Bishop Jenkins?
No, it's good. I'm being blessed. I'm being blessed.
We are blessed. You and I are
good
making
God.
History. This is. I'm serious about this. I'm
yeah,
so
oh,
serious
I'm,
about
I'm definitely
it.
With you. Definitely
and
with
you. You know what I'm more excited about?
What's that, man?
Is that you are actually reaching out and teaching the people of where you're at right now. You are teaching the people about the universal laws, and that is exciting to me.
Praise God. I'm excited.
This is what our responsibility to every man, woman, and child on this planet, this is our responsibility to get that word out there.
That's right. And I believe that if we want God to respond to our cry, even in our prayers, we say, forgive our debtors as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we want God to forgive us, he says, okay, first you have to forgive your brother. It's a reciprocity that's required in order for us to really position ourselves to be in that place in God, and that's through love, which covers the multitude of sin and puts us in a position where we can not only embrace our neighbor, because the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. So everything starts with you and your communication with God, and then God uses you to love others, empower others, and because you can't give others what you don't feel about yourself. So it becomes personal with you and God, starting there first and allowing his spirit to radiate through your life and be able to empower. Because you really can't love right without that spirit. And that's when it starts.
Oh, and let me tell you, Bishop Jenkins, I've actually tried living my life without him. I got a news flash for everybody on this planet. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't. Thank God.
Well, did I learn the hard way, but you know what? It was sweet when I got back home.
I know that's right. Oh, wow. I think we all have that experience.
You got me all fired up, Bishop Jenkins. Did you see what you did?
Yes. No doubt. But thank God for
this. I want to ask a question, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the utmost respect when I ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
How is it, or is it something that the churches always knew about the higher laws, the universal laws? Was it always there, or as you explored on your side, were you able to go, these are the secrets of the universe. These are from God. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes. I think that the church itself, and not to spin off a negative connotation with words
right.
of me, I think the church now is coming to a place of really understanding that it's not about emotionalism that people are looking for, going to church and jumping up and feeling good for a moment and then leaving church, then going back to a place of frustration and aggravation with people that we have to live with every day. I think the church now and pastors now realizing that a happy church starts at home, and that we have to get inside the homes and deal with the issues that they bring to church.
Yes.
And so I think it just moved from one dimension to the next. We always knew that it was there, but people be so happy in church. Pastors think that that was the answer or the antidote of release by dealing with hell at home and then coming to the church for a moment of heaven, not realizing that you can have heaven in church and then heaven at home by dealing with the subliminal issues that keep us bound. And so I think it's just a point now where younger-minded, not in age, but younger-minded leaders are now recognizing the real issue that has always been there, but they were too afraid to test it. You know, in the event that they may lose a congregation who really don't want it or don't want to deal with the man in the mirror. So now at any cost, they say, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not, because after all, it does set you free. So they limit the emotionalism in church and now focus on the teaching that will empower the mind and the spirit. And it's working.
So what I feel I'm hearing from you is that we all finally started listening
right
to the people.
Right. And the preacher started teaching.
I love it. Yes. You start to.
No doubt.
Oh, don't mind me. I just got all parked up here. I just did a lecture on Saturday, and mm-hmm. one of the comments that I had actually made to everyone that was there listening to me speak is just in this subject matter. I said the number one problem that we have today mm-hmm. is that we failed to remember how to listen, truly listen.
Wow.
But not just with our ears, but with our hearts.
That's right. That's so true. Very true. That you can say it no better. That's very, very true. Not taking the time to listen, even while being taught. Because sometimes we are thinking while people are teaching, or we're thinking while we're being imparted into it. And you can't pour a glass of water out of a glass without first being filled. And so if we're trying to enter a glass at the same time trying to take water in, it's going to conflict with each other. At one, you got to listen at a point, and then you have to respond. And some people
That's
try to respond
right.
in the midst of when they should be listening, and we don't really take time to really listen to everything. In the midst of a conversation, we will literally start conjuring up in our mind a response without listening to the whole conversation. And so your response now is something like off the walls, like, okay, what are you talking about? Because you never finished listening to the whole thing. Because in your mind, you already start conjuring up something to respond to it, the issue. And you're absolutely right.
This brings the second point in this conversation is we're now finally starting to step outside of the box.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct.
We're
exactly.
getting close to the end of the show. Can you believe it, Bishop Jenkins?
Yeah.
We're almost at the end of the show.
Wow.
I would like, if you would share more about your book, if you have other CDs, and let me commend you for a wonderful job well done on this book. I definitely know that you were guided in this book as you wrote it.
Thank you.
The CD is wonderful, and
thank you.
I would like to know if you have further CDs out as well for the listeners.
Yes, ma'am.
Before I let you get started, let me give out your website once again, and I do want to remind our listeners this evening is if you go onto my show page, Universal Spiritual Connection, onto my show page, you will find I have a wealth of information on Bishop Jenkins and all the great works he does. I have his book listed there and along with information about his CD. And that website as well is www.eejenkins.org. But I invite you all to explore this wonderful book. A CD you'll absolutely just enjoy, and I'd love to hear comments or send comments to Bishop Jenkins. He's done a great job, guys. I really mean this, and you guys already know that about me. But I'm going to give you the floor, Bishop Jenkins, and let you share a little bit more about your book and any spiritual messages that you would like to leave the listeners this evening with a thought. And I'll just let you have the floor now.
Well, I thank you so much, one, for having me today. It's a privilege and honor to be speaking with you. And I cherish this moment. And to all your listeners, I encourage you to please, not for the sake of just support, but for the sake of change and re-understanding that our motive for life is to demonstrate the qualities of God, and that stems from love. Love is the root, is who God is. John said God is love. And if we who love God are considered as the people of God. Regardless of the persuasion, whatever, the bottom line is we are to demonstrate that quality. And this book will help us understand who the enemy is, make sure that we're not our worst enemy, and more importantly, how to counter the attack of the enemy as we walk through the vicissitudes of life and the pains and that kind of thing, and not allow it to bind us, not allow it to keep us from moving forward, but as a stepping stone to get us to where we are and where we should be, and move forward beyond our circumstances. There is a peace that passes our understanding, and that is the promise of God. That's the love of God. And we need to embrace that first within ourselves. Love yourself. See what it is. See your qualities. Everyone was created with a purpose, a destiny, and a motivation. See that quality in you and then move forward on that. And then you can see that in other people, because you can't extend anything to others that you don't feel about yourself first. So I pray today that you continue to walk in the light of God and see Him as love that works within you. And we do have some information regarding other CDs and that kind of thing on my webpage. Once you log on, you'll see it. And it's all just focusing on being the best that you can be in this life through the love of God. And again, I thank you so much for having us today. And it's my love that I extend to you as a way of appreciation.
Oh, thank you so much. Before I let you go, Bishop Jenkins, would you honor us with a blessing prayer?
Sure.
And then I'll say my goodbyes to you, okay?
Okay, I sure will. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your people. We thank you for this station, this woman of God that you allow to come my way to be a blessing to me and my organization. God, I pray that all that's been said today, God, that it will enlighten the hearts of your listeners, that they will see themselves in a very real way through your love, your presence. And I pray, oh God, that we invoke the spirit of you to rest upon their lives today and forevermore. We pray for strength, longevity, health, prosperity, wealth. We pray, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, thank you so much. I got the chills. Well, you know, I have to say I'm very grateful and honored to have your book in my possession. I invite you anytime to contact me and come back on this show. And I'd ask that you will send a message to all your listeners and,
I sure will.
And members of your church in my behalf, if you would. We send our alohas and love to each and every one of them, and that we look forward to their continued journey and their own well-being.
Yes.
I'm very thrilled and honored to have had you on this show and to share your own wisdom and God's words with all of us.
Thank you.
Anyway. So thank you so much, and you have
a really great
evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Jenkins. Good night.
God bless you.
Bless you as well, and to all.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Wow, we were just talking about the book titled "Don't Hate Your Enemies: 10 Steps on the Art of Loving People" with Bishop Jenkins. And, you know, I've got the book in front of me, and it's so incredibly well written. And what you're going to find as well is it's one of those books that really just draws you in. And it's a book that is very intimate with you and you personally. And I've really enjoyed reading this book. And most of you listeners have been with me for at least 2 years during my broadcast, and you know that when I do the utmost to bring the highest information that I can possibly bring, that I feel
that could be a powerful instrument in your own lives to make a real difference. And my hope and dream, along with the Ascended Masters, is that we hope that you will be able, each time I broadcast, to just take something that will really help make a life-altering change in your own lives, no matter what that might be, because I care about each and every one of you, and I sincerely desire to help each and every one of you. And always, always let me know if you have any special comments or suggestions for this show. Let me know about it. You can always email me at imdivinelight@aol.com. On that note, I am actually going to read you a love poem on page 159 from the book Don't Hate Your Enemies, Just Step on Them, The Art of Loving People. And here we go. I've been hurt many times. Thought I'd lose my mind. The tears wouldn't go away. The pain just stayed. I even said I'd rather be dead. Why go on and suffer more? I really need to know who'll be there and where to go. I have given up on my love, for to me it's just a word. Had no one to share my pain. No one trust that I could gain. Your love turned my world around. Your love is a treasure I've found. Your love is the link that holds my chain. Your love will always remain your love. Here's another one I'd like to share. I'm just going to keep right on reading. Now my attitude has changed. Thanks to you, I am not the same. And life for me right now is just fine. And now that I am yours and you are mine, feels so good to know I am loved. Right now, I've been fulfilled. I am in love. I know this time it's real. I said it is real. Amen, and so be it. And the reason why you heard me earlier stating that we were just making history on this show, I mean just that. And I want to honor all the listeners, to all the light workers around this planet. I send you my true alohas and love to every one of you. What we saw this evening is two separations coming together, joining hand in hand, and these individuals are finally understanding the true universal laws. They are teaching now about the movie Secret and how to tap into those universal knowledge and wisdom. So I honor all of you because this is a true moment in time that I thought that I would never ever see, and we unfolded it right here on this show where two worlds just met together, and it was all because of all the work all of you did, all the pains and the sufferings and the continuous faith and dedication to God and to the Ascended Masters and the angels, of all the continuous healings and in educating ourselves in the universal truth. We did it, people. It's finally happening. We're seeing it unfold and merging together. And that is a very exciting time and moment for not just myself, but for every one of us. We just got through witnessing the rewards of all our efforts as we walked our spiritual journeys all these years. We're starting to really see it unfold. On that note, I am actually going to be interviewing one of our very own BBS radio hosts, and her name is Marcia, and she is a host of The Peaceful Planet. She broadcasts during the day with BBS Radio. I ask that each of you please stay tuned. We will also be sharing with all of you her own show, broadcast, along with a wonderful book that she channels with Diana, the Princess of Wales. And I know that you're going to find it very exciting. And I'm also going to join all the Pal Talk listeners. I'm coming in, everybody, so I'm going to share my time with you. And Seth, you ready? You can go ahead and start the broadcast, if you would, please. And just hang in there with all of us, and we're going to get
Aloha.
That
started. Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of CBSRadio.com. Our call-in number for this day is Canada 888. Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers for this day is Canada 888-861-3519 for the USA. The number is 877-270-8714. Our direct line is area code 530-876-9026 or 876-3223 and 413-4515. This is a special broadcast that is brought to you this day by the Universal Spiritual Connection, and I'm thrilled and excited to do this show with all of you out there in internet land. Anyway, I have been really looking forward to this show, and we have one of our very own radio hosts with BBS Radio right here today with all of us. So pull your chairs up and let's get close and have an intimate show, not only with our show host today, but with our beloved Queen of Hearts, Diana. And if you will permit, please allow me to give you some history about our guest for this day. She is the show host of the show called Peaceful Planet, and it's hosted by Marcia McMahon. She is broadcasting on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 to 2 o'clock p.m. from Eastern Standard Time. Marcia is an international recognized psychic, author, and radio show host, and has her art in numerous private collections throughout the U.S., Europe, and Canada. She was recently named in Who's Who in America 2002 and 2003. She was also featured in Who's Who in the World for 2004 for her art teaching, and her watercolors of Princess Diana. Her psychic world work with Diana began 5 years ago at about the same time as September the 11th attacks. Marcia's work is having an impact on worldwide affairs in the Middle East through Diana's messages, which have been read around the world to diplomats she knew in life. We ask that and invite each and every one of you to tune in to Peaceful Planet. Once again, that is on Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and at 1 o'clock to 2 on Eastern Standard Time. Without further delay, let's give our guest a warm welcome to the show. Are you with us, Marcia?
I certainly am, Leilani. Thank you for the lovely introduction. I feel like I may have to live up to all of that. Boy, oh boy. So I appreciate your plugging my show, too. That's wonderful. It's great to be
absolutely.
With you. We had such a wonderful talk last week when you came on my show.
Yes, we did, and I had a lot of fun. And
I am very grateful to you for allowing me and my spirit friends to come and play with you and your spirit friends.
Well, it's wonderful that the world is opening up to this work that we're all doing, and to be working with another light worker of your caliber. It's a great honor to be on your show, Leilani, and I look forward to sharing Diana's thoughts with you all.
Thank you. Before we talk about Diana, because I'm excited that we're going to get to share ourselves with Diana today, I did want to touch on your artwork. And I'd like to encourage and invite all the listeners this day to go take a look at Marcia's show page and explore her website. She has a wonderful website. And she's got a piece of her artwork that she has done on her show page. And I just love it, Marcia. It's got a lot of movement in it, but yet at the same time, it just gives you a real sense of peace and tranquility.
Well, thank you for the compliment on the art. I have a lot of paintings of Princess Diana. And I began painting her when I began channeling her, and a lot of them are in fact channeled, so they do bring through her loving and beautiful vibration. And she's, of course, ever beautiful, so there's a lot to work from, a lot of photos out there all over the place, which I use as an inspiration, but I never copy them exactly. And I appreciate the compliment. You can reach the gallery by going on to DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com and then press on the gallery, and they're about... oh, I think 5 or 6 Diana galleries that I have now. Can't get enough of a good thing.
Wow.
You know?
That is exciting because, you know, and let me explain the difference to our listeners this day is, you know, and I want to bring this forward once again, is that Marcia has to be very open, cleared, all very clear and focused throughout her day to be able to pull the inspiration, the creative ideas through her personal channels and translate that into a painting or into words. And so I want to really commend you because, you know, as we all know, I'm a channel as well. So I understand the discipline that it takes to keep yourself in a solid foundation.
Yeah, that is very true with any form of channeling, whether it be art or whether it be words, because you do have to kind of set your ego aside, and then you have to have the discipline to take the time to record what it is that you're receiving. And so, you know, it kind of flows through me rather spontaneously, actually, both with the words, and her words sound so much like her, and then with the images that I get, too. And so she directs me. She directs the paintbrush, and she directs the flow of my fingers across the typewriter, you know, the keyboard.
That's so exciting to me. It really
is. It's wonderful to connect to her vibration because she's one of my master guides, you know. And she's a magnificent ascended master. And, you know, I think sometimes that she gets misunderstood by the general public so much, but she's written these books and she's creating this art through me to really bring forth her essence and to give, you know, her, the people that loved her as well, a better idea of what she really was all about and what she really stood for.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me, if we can, please share with us of all the different ascended masters that you're working with at this time. I know that, you know, they move in and out periodically as we evolve to a higher level. I hope you get to keep these guys for a long time because I'm going, wow.
Well, I mean, you know, I never intended to set out to channel Princess Diana. She actually came to me with a specific request that I begin working with her, and this was shortly before the September 11th attacks. But then as I began to expand and work with, when I got my show on BBS Radio, other Ascended Masters wanted to speak. I had been working with Diana and Mother Teresa and John Lennon during that time, and then
Now I work with John Lennon, George Harrison. You know, I never intended to channel all these famous people, but somehow my vibration fits with what they want to bring forth. And being in BBS and being in the entertainment world, it's sort of like all the great stars of all time seem to have something to say. They weren't finished with what they wanted to say. And also, I know that I'm a creative person, so my creativity seems to work well with other ascended masters like John Lennon, who doesn't want to be called an ascended master, by the way, but he is nonetheless. And then I've expanded to also work with Archangel Michael, and I've heard from Julius Caesar, and I've heard from so many. I am open to spirit whenever spirit calls, and I just try to be there as a resource for, you know, the great light work that is being done on the planet through many people. So, you know, I've been honored to hear from people who've affected the course of world history already and are continuing to influence the planet from the higher dimensions. And, of course, we're in an age of ascension, so really anybody can tap into these masters, and we all have the masters that we like to work with, as you do too, Leilani, you know.
Yes. I find it fascinating that you are working with them. It's very exciting. Like, matter of fact, I have Diana standing right next to me as we're talking.
Well, she's right next to me here too, and Mother Teresa. I saw a bit of Mother Teresa, and she's smiling and she's very, very pleased to, you know, have us with her and to be with us on the show. So, you know, that's great that she's also with you in spirit. That's wonderful.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity to share with all our listeners Marcia's website, and let me give that information to you once again, and that is Diana, and that's spelled D as in dog, I-A-N-A, speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S, totheworld.com. If you'd like to contact Marcia personally, her email address is dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. Now, what you're also going to find is that Marcia is one of those individuals that is just, she's a very unique individual that is extremely creative in so many different menus. And what I have found very refreshing for me interacting and having communication with Marcia is that she's very grounded, and I like that because, you know, it's important for us to be of service here on the planet. And you're very refreshing to me, Marcia. You just really are, and how well you have linked all the different creative work that you're doing, and it flows so nicely with each other. And so I commend you for the work that you do. On that note, pardon me?
I just said thank you. I'm not sure I deserve all this praise, but go ahead.
Absolutely. It's a time for us to have divine recognition of not only ourselves, but collectively as well, because our listeners are just as creative and wonderful. And if we can just leave our listeners this day with wonderful thoughts of how wonderful they are, that they'll allow themselves to expand their own dreams and creativity as well. But on note, we're going to play one of the songs that you've written. Could you give our listeners a title?
Well, we were listening. I don't know if this song came through, The Passing Through Botswana. I thought we were playing that, but I'm not sure that that was heard. So we could play that again, or we could play something for Gossamer Wings if we've already played Passing Through Botswana.
Okay.
These songs, by the way, I want to reference, are being created by Bob Murray. And then I'm only channeling the lyrics to the song. And maybe we'd like to hear the song and then hear the lyrics or something like that.
Excellent. On that note, we're going to take a 3-minute break and share some wonderful music from Bob Murray with all of you this day. And so stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Time to get excited about life, and welcome back to the Universal Spiritual Connection. I am your host, May Leilani. Our guest this day is Marcia, from the show host of Peaceful Planets. And Marcia is going to share with us the lyrics from the song you just heard on this show. So, Marcia, are you still with us?
I certainly am.
Okay.
Yeah. The name of the song was Passing Through Botswana, which is a song that was written through the mediumship of Bob Murray, another friend that I work with, and Bob is extremely talented. And his website is www.thestarsstillshine. So he wrote the music while I wrote the lyrics, and I was asked by John Lennon and George Harrison to record these lyrics through my process of channeling. So, Passing Through Botswana is the title, and these are the lyrics by George Harrison. We are just passing through, my dear, passing through Botswana. As the tides and seasons come and go, my dear, we're just here passing through Botswana. We glide along the shores, just passing through this life, passing through Botswana. Botswana, a place of Africa, a new face, a new place, yet still we're all just passing through from me to you. It's like we're just passing through a place of peace where once was war, this place, Botswana, where children cried and many lives were lost. Just passing through now, a new day dawns for Africa and her children cry out to live and reap the benefits of the land, to stop the AIDS crisis, and let their cries for justice. We're just passing through, all of us. So then let the new age of peace begin right here for them. The children of hope, the children left to die will not die, but a new hope begin in Botswana, a place of despair. Many just passing through. You'll see them. We're all passing through, and no one can hold the money, so just give it away. The ones dying and needing it. This is from George, asking you to do your part for peace for Botswana and for all the places of grief on the planet. Passing through, and all will be well here in time, with the love and light for the children of AIDS. We're all needing to band together for peace and healing. So that's verse one of Traveling Through Botswana. It's got a great sound to it, really. I like Bob's music a lot.
Yes, he does. You know, one of the things I want to make sure that we do as well today is I really would like to share your book with all our listeners, and I personally want to thank you for letting this show share music with the listeners today. I know they're going to be very excited to hear further music that you are sharing within your own show. And I do want to remind our listeners is that if you go onto my show page, I have all the wonderful information about Marcia and her book as well. I do invite you once again to tune in to Peaceful Planet on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m. and 1 to 2 on Eastern Standard Time. So if you can't remember that information, which I know all of you are writing that down, you're welcome to go on my show page as well, and I'll have all that information. We'll keep it posted up there for all of you, okay? On that note, I have this wonderful book that vibrates with this incredible love, and it just seems to jump right off of this book. And what's really intriguing about this book, and you can actually open it up, and the words just vibrate with this love. So it's a book where it brings you into an intimate conversation and a relationship between Marcia and Diana. And it's wonderful. It's almost like I could envision myself sitting in my living room drinking tea as I'm having this intimate relationship with Diana and Marcia. And so I want to invite all of you to really take a good look at this book. By the way, Marcia, thank you for sending this book to me. Now, let me give you the title of this book, and it's called With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, Messages from Heaven for a New Age of Peace. So on that note, Marcia, give us an overall view of this book here.
Well, it's a lot of messages from Princess Diana, some of which concern many of the quandaries that have been covered in the press recently. She speaks on all of the aspects of her life to clarify the truth. But more than just being a personal message about her personal life, which is kind of on the level of tabloidism, and she's not on that level, she's an ascended master, and she has intervened to assist everyone the world over with coming to terms with the senselessness of war and killing, particularly in the Middle East. And she has given very astute, excellent diplomatic solutions that will help end terrorism in the Middle East. And she's taken on this cause for peace because of her status as being part of the divine feminine, if you will. She is very much a mother spirit to many of the children that are seen crossing over daily, you know, as a result of wars and so on. And so she's doing her part to continue in her mother love vibration for the entire earth by providing these political and diplomatic solutions for the Middle East, which is to say that some of these solutions are really far in advance of what, you know, we're seeing in the Middle East right now. But nonetheless, a lot of them have been heard at high levels, and people who knew her in life were very receptive to the book. So she's got it all worked out, and this is a task that she was given by her guides and masters on the other side. So there are different levels of ascension and mastery even on the other side, and she's taken it upon herself to save the lives of as many innocent children in particular as she can without prejudice. Now, you will remember that in life, Diana had no prejudice toward anyone and worked with the most downtrodden, the world's children, the most depraved situations, and she walked into landmine fields quite fearlessly and did not fear for her own life doing that. So she was the kind of person that really went out of her way to love people, to embrace the downtrodden, to help the victims of AIDS, and she's still doing this important work from the other side, and she would really like the world to know about this work because there are solutions that can prevent future terrorism, and she's taken on this cause, I think, in a different way than other light workers and ascended masters who work from the other side have. So she's got something totally unique that no one else has, in addition to all of her personal messages, of course.
I agree. I mean, she was very well loved when she was here on the planet, and she has continued being loved on the other side as well. And, you know, her energy is so incredibly loving.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, yes.
I know.
Let me ask you this question about this book, because I'm very excited about this book, and I would really like to convey the message to all the listeners today. It's not only just a book. It's like a personal diary of, you know, like you had mentioned earlier about important issues that's going on in the planet. I also realize that she is sharing information, important future information, to assist all of us in moving forward with the transitions that are taking place on this planet. And, of course, she touches on other areas as well. But if I asked you to sum up this book, what would be the one message that Diana truly desires to get across to humanity?
Okay, let me see if I had it bookmarked here. Still looking. Oh, here it is. If I may read her words from the book. This is one of the messages that she would like to highlight. She says, "We can move beyond this war on terror by offering justice and right solutions to this one problem. We can set an example for peace everywhere. There is no excuse for bloodshed, hatred, and war. One day, the human race will set aside these differences and proclaim a new era of peace for humanity. It is my request as Diana, Princess of Peace, that you do this today, now, for your children and your children's children so deserve this. My love in a troubled time, Diana, peace worker for your world.
Wow. Let's go to page 157. Would you please read Mother Teresa's message to humanity as well?
Oh,
I just love this picture with the two of them together, by the way.
And it's called Ascension Together, and it's a watercolor,
yes.
and it is available on the website. I sell my prints for a very little and then donate some of the proceeds to some of their causes. Yes, the title of the message is Mother Teresa's message, Do Something Beautiful for God. And I connected with her vibration the day that she was made a saint in the Catholic Church. So it was just coincidental, but I think that her words are really powerful here. Mother Teresa, oh, I needn't be praised. I did it all for God, and everyone is called by God to do something beautiful. Seek and find those you can help in any way, and be of service to mankind. Do something beautiful for God. In this day and age, when so many are misled and so many are hurt by the war and the terrible suicide bombs, we ask an end to this senseless violence. Diana and I ask it in God's name. We want a Palestine for the people there have suffered so long. We ask you to be a peace worker today, to write your representatives, or to give money to the poor. Do what you can. That is why God put you here, to do his will. May God bless you today, and thank you for remembering my day. Marcia, you're welcome, Mother. Heaven is a happier place, and so is Earth, thanks to you. You're welcome, and thank you. To God the glory. Amen.
I could feel the tears swelling up in my eyes. I know that the listeners today of this show will definitely agree. I mean, you could just feel the love through those words, and it really touched me right in the heart. And I could just feel the tears swelling up in my eyes, because that's what it's all about, is really loving and supporting our sisters and brothers.
Isn't it, though? And Mother was such a fine example of humility, and yet, you know, Mother Teresa and her personality and everything was so different than Diana, and yet, you know, they were friends on the earth plane, and then, you know, really Diana looked to Mother as a mother figure for her, because she really didn't have her own mother, and certainly the Queen was emotionally not connected to Diana very much. So Diana really needed a spiritual mother figure that could be someone that she could work with. And she always visited Mother, and Mother came to the palace and visited with Diana in life. And they were friends, and it was most unique because their personalities were so different. But yet, from what I understand, those two are in charge of everything that happens on the other side now. They run orphanages.
Because I got that message when I saw them two in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just had to chuckle to myself. The picture itself is just priceless. I mean, the picture will just give you, when you look at it, you sit and you just chuckle to yourself knowing that they're just having a great time on their side, but yet at the same time, they're reaching out here on the earth plane as well and guiding us and loving us.
Well, that's what the Ascended Masters do, you know. The Ascended Masters are there, and there are many, many of them, some named and some unnamed, but they come from all cultures. They come from all religions. And, you know, I think in the New Age we're really developing a new understanding of the Ascended Masters and the Archangels. And
yes.
I think in this New Age we're going to be able to get rid of a lot of the old, outdated religious notions that keep us separate from God and help us. The Ascended Masters are standing ready to help us reform the world into the way that it should be according to God's plan. So we have a whole
mm-hmm.
spiritual hierarchy that most religions, frankly, just don't acknowledge, aren't aware of. But thankfully for lightworkers like you and I, Leilani, we're making people aware that there are these masters that can be called upon for guidance and help. And Diana is saying that she wants everyone to know that she's still Queen of Hearts. And she said in life, and these were her words, just call on me and I'll come in an instant and I'll be there as a Queen of Hearts. She said that during her interview in 1992. And she says that throughout the book. That's why I titled it, you know, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. She would like everyone to know that she's available as a master and guide.
Wow. And you're so right about that, because all you have to do is call them. Call upon them, and they're right there for us. And a lot of them, I have found, is, you know, even with the angels, I mean, they're out of a job, so to speak, you know. I don't mean to make that light, but, you know, I feel for them because, you know, they cannot intervene in our lives unless we bring them forth and ask them to assist us in our everyday lives and in everything that we do. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You're so right. And, yes, the archangel, you know, would like to see an end to war on the planet and has provided solutions, and so has Diana. And yet, it's almost like the mass part of humanity and the mass consciousness and the mainstream media and all these other things are just deaf to these messages. They're deaf to the messages of Diana. They're deaf to the messages of Archangel Michael and some of the other archangels. And if humanity would just wake up, and that's where your work and my work comes in so well with BBS, because we were able to help people connect with the guides and masters and bring forth their own messages from the masters. And the more people that are awake, the more chance we have of creating a better world. But Diana in particular has taken on an awesome task in trying to influence this world, and partly because I think of her celebrity and the knowledge she had of world affairs before she passed on. I mean, her work really was not finished. So, you know,
that's correct, because, you know, there's actually three archangels that have not come down and had a physical experience here. So it's a bit challenge for them in a sense, and I don't mean that because, you know, I think we all got this, that angels, you know, they're very unlimited, but they don't have necessarily an understanding of earth affairs as Diana would or another ascended master. And a lot of them we're going to find have had physical experiences here on the planet. I got all this information flowing through me, and I'm having to ask them to slow it down, stop. Everybody wants to talk today.
Oh, just go ahead. I'd like to hear what the angels are saying about this. I welcome your thoughts, please. Just take the time you need and bring forth whatever they're wanting to say.
Well, I really desire to bring Diana's information forward and Mother Teresa's, and I'm just in awe with the work that you do. And one of the other areas of interest is that you also give channeled messages to listeners, and do you also have, let me back up here, do you do private readings as well?
Yes, I do. It may be a little hard to find that on my website because it's not the primary focus of my work.
Okay.
But it is one of my focuses. I shouldn't say that it's not. It is. But it's something that's, you know, it's on the website. If you go to the site index, you can sign up for a private channeled reading. And I do bring through a lot of messages from the Archangel Michael. But I also bring through Ra, who's an energy that worked with Edgar Cayce. And I connected to him through another BBS show host. So, you know, I do readings, and I very much enjoy readings because I think they help accelerate people's ascension process. And ascension is one of the areas that I'm also very interested in, and highlighting many guests on my show with that topic in mind. So I have a hand in everything.
I actually teach the ascension. And,
oh, wonderful.
Yes, I also do the DNA activations along with the class. When they take it, they end up with 52 attunements. within the class, bringing down the higher chakras, all those, you know, all those different components. And it was really interesting because when I started teaching the class 2 years ago and I really got moved to do it, there were people here in Arizona, and you wouldn't have thought so, that weren't too happy about me teaching about the ascension. And so I stuck with it, and I continued moving forward with that, and I've watched people's lives change because of those classes.
Oh, yeah, and I also teach ascension classes, too, and I'm planning to teach one online, so...
Oh,
yes,
excellent.
I think that's wonderful, and I want to ask you about some of the ways that you're using the new medias that are coming out in terms of teaching ascension, because I also teach art history online, and we're using a new Breeze multimedia platform, and it's been working out very well, so I'm thinking of going to that platform for my ascension classes. But,
well, we invite you as well is to, you know, anytime you want to participate with us in the teleclasses as well, we'd love to have you because I am going to be teaching the quite a few classes during, you know, through the teleclasses where I'll teach ascension and so forth, and I'll actually even do the attunements. It was really interesting because I did this to a woman one day. She didn't know who I was, but she had been recommended to me. So she called and everything, and she said she was actually crying on the phone, just bawling. And you know, she proceeded to tell me how well she was protected, and the archangels and the masters wouldn't, you know, let me get near her, this and that and so forth, but I need help. So I said, do you feel that? And she said, yeah, well, what is that? And I said, well, that's me tapping you on your shoulder.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said to her,
No, go ahead. Continue.
And I said to her, I said, so now at least you know the ascended masters and the archangels allowed me into your environment.
Wow.
So I'm okay. I'm not here to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick,
well, I'd love to come in on some of your sessions, and I'd love for you to come in on some of my sessions when I put these courses together, too.
Would love it. Absolutely love it.
I feel a, you know, definitely camaraderie with you, being that you're also a show host with BDS and that you also work with the Ascended Masters and you're a channel. And I know that your work is entirely different from mine, but I think it's just wonderful, and it was a great privilege to have had you on the show last week, and your work is just so fascinating, too, Leilani. It's just wonderful, so it's really been interesting to be on your show.
But real quick, you've received some messages, and before we have to say goodbye, amazing when you're having a great time, how time just goes by very quickly. I'd like for you to share that with the listeners today.
Yeah, I'd be honored to share it. I do a weekly message, and this one was received yesterday, and it mentions the interview and Leilani and everything. It's very positive and very interesting, and it's titled Princess Diana Comments on Harry. And this is a conversation between Diana and I, so it'll be my voice, M, and her voice is D. Dear Diana, I have heard your call for a session today. Is there something you wish to speak on? Darling, we are very pleased to know I will be once again featured on BBS Radio, and we predict an overwhelming response to your show. I am pleased, too, that Leilani did speak so well on your show, as her work is truly amazing. You have such an open mind and very different work. We are glad to see this coming together of souls who are on your high level of service to others. And we hope you do stay in contact. Marcia, is there any issue pending your discourse, Diana? Diana, I will be brief. In my last message, I humbly ask our readers to pray for Prince Harry, has been drafted in to serve in that dreadful arena of Iraq. We do see a future deployment there and hope that they will have sense enough to place Harry out of harm's way. He is, after all, heir to the spare and serves a more useful purpose to his brother than military service. But Harry loves his work and is very concerned that he not be seen as receiving special or royal treatment and would just as soon serve in a combat zone than to be seen as opting out. He is no coward, as most of you probably realize. This being said, Harry most likely has no idea that I have written two books through my channel on world peace and ending wars on this planet. And if he only knew how much his mother opposed his going over to that dreadful war zone. I have no control over what Harry does now that I am not here in the physical. I am very much with my son in the spiritual sense, and he does know of my love for him. He does not suspect that I do know every detail of the goings-on of his life, seen from a non-judgmental, all-love point of view. And he will be shocked to learn that my humble channel's book was as well-received and required reading for top levels of government in the U.S., for it did contain intelligence on what terrorists may be planning on the U.S. and was used by one of the diplomats who conceived of a peace plan for Israel and Palestine. For this reason, my channel deserves credit for her fine work because she put herself at risk to bring this information to the attention of the top people who knew me in life and could verify the information I had given as true. We don't know why the book isn't a bestseller other than, of course, it being channeled, and this is the object of criticism from mainstream media. They should be ashamed of their attitudes toward channeling as they have never read it and can't imagine that most channeling is good information which is otherwise unavailable to those on the earth plane. Marcia, thank you for the recommendation. Diana, is there anything else? I wish to thank BBS Radio for allowing my voice for peace to be once again heard and my solutions to the situation in the Middle East to be considered on Marcia's show and in the message boards. We personally thank the lightworker Don Newsom and hope the best for his emerging network of light and love on BBS Radio. With love for all my listeners, Diana, Princess of Light and Love.
Wow. Wow, I'm getting teary-eyed here. Knock it off, Leilani.
Thank you, Don.
Truly,
of course.
Yes. Well, we are coming to a close on this show. And I personally thank you and honor you for all the great works you are doing. I want to personally thank Diana, Queen of Hearts, John Lennon, Mother Teresa, George Harris, Bob Murray for sharing his wonderful music with each and every one of us. And I want to remind our listeners this day that I was just about ready to post this message up on my show page, and I didn't have enough time before the broadcast, so I will be posting this up on the show page, so please, I invite you to go read it yourselves. It's always nice to be able to make contact with the words. But on that note, I want to remind our listeners that I am that I am. You are the power and the presence on your daily lives. And always remember to love thyselves, love your families with all your heart. Until we reconnect, be well to each and every one of you. And we, Marcia and I both send our well wishes. And I understand you got a real quick message you want to give them as well. Marcia?
Diana is simply saying, thank you so very much, Leilani. It was truly my pleasure and honor to bring forth my essence through my channel on this program, and I shall be watching over both of you in your mutual endeavors from this point onward. Thank you for connecting to the vibration, and much love to all of your listeners.
Thank you.
With love, Queen of Hearts.
And remember, celebrate life. Walk with each breath of joy and happiness, for you are the power and the intelligence of you, your world, and activities. We bid you a good day.